In our remaining minutes, I'd like to draw your attention to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to continue in our series that we've been doing on facing the pressures of life. And tonight I'm going to focus on the aspect of hope bubbling in the pressure cooker. Many of you, like me, grew up in the South, and most people in the 60s and 70s had gardens in their yard or had a piece of property that they had a garden on. I know my aunt Gladys had a huge garden up near Clearwater Creek that almost 5 acres of corn and butter beans and all kinds of stuff. We'd go up there picking from time to time, and we knew what that meant. It meant going home shelling and then washing and getting them into the mason jars because they were going into the canner. And my mom still has to this day two huge canning pressure cookers that they haven't been used, I don't think, in a while, but I can remember the sound of them building up pressure. And then after about 10, 15 minutes of cooking, she'd hit the turn off the heat and then hit the pressure button so it would go back down again. And I remember popping that big heavy lid off, pulling out those mason jars, and then letting them sit on the counter. And then in a few minutes, you'd hear bing, bing, and there were the lids popping in. It was sealing as they cooled. And we knew that was going to be dinner, supper in the future for all of us. And the pressure cooker allowed those beans and peas and tomatoes and whatever we canned to be cooked quickly and be brought under intense pressure that would allow them to go through that whole process of being sealed, pushing out all the oxygen inside, and then sealing it so it would last for a long time on the shelf. So that we could get the benefits of that. And the title of my message is Hope Bubbles in the Pressure Cooker. I think that many of us could say that life has been full of pressure. We all have experienced it, some of us more than others, but we do have to experience the pressures that come in life. And I want to draw your attention back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 because I want you to listen. As Paul begins this letter, as he talks to the Thessalonians, he had already written one letter. It's about 4 months later. He writes another letter, and he's encouraged by what he's hearing about what they are doing there, but also addresses some problems that have arisen, which has created more trouble and pressure because they thought the rapture had already happened. And as a result of that, they thought, we're going to have to go through the tribulation period. We're without Christ now. And the whole point of this second letter was to address that and to let them know that, no, the rapture has not occurred yet. This is just trouble and pressures that you're going through, the persecution that they had faced. But again, I want to draw attention to the cognates that appear in this first chapter that relate to this idea of being under pressure. The pressure that comes from those that hate Christ, the pressure that comes from the culture, the pressure that comes from expectations that we either create for ourselves or others create for us. The pressure that came upon the church was the rapture has already happened. What are we to do? What are we to do? Paul said that we're going to be snatched up out of here, and yet we're seeing incredible persecution and trouble upon us, and it sounds like we're in the tribulation period, and we missed the rapture. So understand that amount of pressure that was brought on, what are we to do, needed to be dealt with. And Paul brings hope through all the pressures that they were going. He brings hope into the picture. Let's read beginning at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, these are standard salutations that he gives, but these are important words. They're just not, you know, salutation. They're words that are pregnant with meaning. Grace to you. Whose grace? God's grace. Peace be multiplied to you. Whose peace? God's peace. Grace and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your, here's some of our words again, persecutions and tribulations. All right, we have that word phlipsisen, which is the idea of being put in a place of great pressure. It's working out to be tribulation, this horrible pressure that we've been put under. And so we go on, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now, verse 5 has been a verse that's been misunderstood and some wrong conclusions made, that this persecution and tribulation was part of God's judgment. That is not what it's saying here. So, matter of fact, let me read to you Philip's translation of verse 5. These qualities, all right, now what qualities does he talk about? Patience and faith in the midst of persecution and pressure. Patience and faith. These qualities, verse 5, show how justly the judgment of God works out in your case. Without doubt, he intends to use your suffering to make you worthy of his kingdom, yet his justice will one day repay trouble to those who have troubled you, and peace to all of us who, like you, have suffered, phlipsis, that have gone through the pressure. So he's saying here, understand what God is doing. Yes, you're going through this tremendous pressure and persecution. You're exercising faith and patience, which are wonderful qualities. And these qualities show how justly God works, because one day, what is he going to do? He's going to make all these situations right. He's going to judge those that have brought all these pressures and persecutions and tribulations and troubles on you. And it's going to redound to his glory and to your life. There's going to be glorious things in store for you because you've endured the pressure. Now, what do we call that? To look ahead past all of the trouble and all the pressure, to look ahead and to see what? God has glory for us, because we're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, the one who bestowed grace and peace to us in the midst of that. But we're going to be delivered out of this world of pressure, and we're going to be put in a place of glory forever and ever, and never ends. We're never going to be put in that place again, because we're going to stand in the presence of the Savior Jesus Christ, who will make all things right. That is what we call hope. It's hope in the midst of the pressure cooker. Now, I want you to think for just a moment, all right? My mom used to can just about everything, potatoes to tomatoes to peas and so forth. I especially loved the smell of cut green beans when it was cooking. And I would smell, I didn't care for the black-eyed peas before, during, or after. All right, I'll just be honest with you like that. But green beans cooking, there was a distinct smell that I just absolutely love. And I would sit there and smell that, and then Mom would say, all right, it's time to open up the pressure cooker. You boys come in here. We get our stools, go up in there. We'd unscrew the lids at the top after it was cooled off, and we would pop that off for Mom, and we'd go put it in the back room. And then we would take our little grabbers that we had, and we'd reach down in there and pull those out one at a time, carefully supporting it, taking it over, setting down, waiting for it to stop. Now, that was work, but then came the time when we had them for supper, and or Sunday morning, noon meal. I used to love that. She'd break those, and you'd smell those cooking on the stove, and it would be December or January or February after we'd already done all the picking and stuff. We were enjoying all the benefits of what? The work. And the pressure that was put on those jars to push out the air and to create a vacuum that would pull back in when it cooled, preserve those so that we could enjoy it when? Later. Later. Now, we're not enjoying all the blessings of heaven now, are we? No. Now we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. That began the moment we were saved. And we enjoy the grace of God on a daily basis. We enjoy His comfort. I wrote to Brother Jethro this afternoon. I tried to encourage him. I said, I know it's been a very tough month for you. Losing a baby. And now your wife's dad, who I met in the Philippines, is dying. And is not doing well at all. And so all the family is gathering to be there with him whenever he passes. Jethro lost his dad 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now. And so the only one that's left now is Jethro's mom. And I said, I know it's been very, very difficult, and you're going through a very trying time right now. But just remember, every one of these that have passed, you will see again in heaven. And we will enjoy the presence of our family that know Christ in heaven with Christ forever and ever. We enjoy it then. What do we call that? Once again, what's our word? Hope. We call it the blessed hope. Jesus is coming again. What is Paul doing here? He said, we have this hope that is still yet future. The rapture has not taken place yet. The day of the Lord is not here yet. It's still yet future. You have hope. I want us to thank the Lord tonight for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Can we just stop right now in the middle of our little message and just stop and thank Him? Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I want to just stop right now and thank You for the hope that we enjoy as believers in Christ because of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that we have to endure trouble and persecution and pressures here on this earth on a daily basis. But You have given us hope. And that hope is beyond description. And so we stop right now to say thank You for that great love that's been demonstrated through Christ. And our future is secure. Our hope is secure. We don't hope guessing. We hope knowing. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's nothing more wonderful than hope. Nothing more wonderful than hope. And that hope is not based upon some flimsy emotional feeling. I had the privilege yesterday. I had 3 third graders that Mrs. Boone brought to me and said, over the last 2 weeks, they've asked me several times about their need to be saved. Would you have time to talk to them? I said, yes. So I brought them in there. And I let them, each one, share what was going on in their heart. I was frankly stunned by what the Lord had been doing in their heart. One girl that was there, she told me, she said, I have asked Jesus so many times to save me, but I get into it every night with my sisters. And that's wrong. I don't feel saved. That was the one testimony. And then another one of the boys spoke up and said, I don't have that problem. I only have a younger brother or whatever, but ever since school started, I knew that I needed to do something about my soul. I go to church every Sunday. I go to Sunday school every Sunday, but something's not right with me. And the other young man said something very similar to that. And so I just walked them through over an hour, walked them through the scriptures, talking about the fact that, first of all, salvation is not a feeling. I said, how many of you felt like coming to school this morning? Shock of all shocks, not a one of them said, yeah, I was looking forward to coming to school this morning. I said, hello, that's the way we are. You know, hello, we don't want to. I said, some of the teachers felt that way too. So you're not alone. So can you trust your feelings? Is school good? Is school needful? Oh, yes, Mr. Brainerd, it's needful. We have to go to school. The government says we have to go to school. So we just talked, and I just told them, I said, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ made it possible for you to receive a free gift. It's the righteous, gracious gift from Him. And you just have to receive it. And when you receive it, you've got to partake of it. That's what we call believing. I gave them all a piece of candy. I said, just hold it. Now, one of the boys, he had a struggle. He was over there slowly tearing it while I was, I said, well, give it here. Well, I want to keep it. I said, don't open it. I said, just wait for just a second. I walked him through it. I said, I gave you something. What was it? You gave us some chocolate. I gave candy to one because they couldn't have chocolate. And I said, you've received it. Does it taste good? One of them went sniffing of it. It smells good. Yeah. What's the Bible say? Taste and see. Can you finish it? That the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I said, if you take this home and hold it for a whole year, will you have really received it? And it was like the light bulb went on. No. I said, when do you receive it? When you open the gift and you take of it. And so after about an hour and 15 minutes of talking to them, all three of them made professions of faith. I don't know, but I'm praying for them. But I told them, I said, listen, don't be sorrowing. I know you fuss with your sisters, and by the way, when you leave here, you're probably going to fuss some more. That's just what families do many times. But I said, you won't be happy in that. And she said, I'm not happy about that now. And I said, well, that's good. That's a good sign. But I said, there's hope. Because hope is found not in a feeling, not in an incantation of saying words. It's found in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ, and He died for you. Therefore, you have hope. After we're saved, we go through pressure and tribulations. But folks, the hope doesn't die. Do I hear an amen? The hope doesn't die. In the pressure cooker of life, bubbles hope. In the heat of the moment, in the trial, in the persecution, there is hope because it centers not on how I feel at the moment, the pressure that I'm feeling, the hurt that I might be going through because I'm having to bear under this pressure. It is the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you tonight. I just sense that as we continue to serve the Lord, that the pressures are going to get greater. They're going to get greater on believers in Christ. But does our Savior change? Same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless us as we go our ways tonight. We thank You for the privilege that we have to study Your Word, and I'm so thankful for the encouragement that You gave to this church so many years ago, that there's hope in Christ. Don't sorrow. Don't feel like you've been left behind. Know this, that Christ is still yet to come, but there is certainly hope found. That no matter what we go through in this life, the pressure cooker that puts us through all the pressure in the world, we know we have hope in Jesus Christ because we're going to spend all eternity with Him and He's going to make all things right. Thank You so much for that encouragement, dear Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You and God bless you.